The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you wish upon a star.
Now we want you to share with us our latest and greatest dream. Disneyland.
Just go to Action Park. There's no other park like it.
Six Flags Great Adventure. It's not a world away.
Paramount's Kings Island.
We will officially open Universal Studios Florida.
Hello, I'm Michael Eisner.
Now, here is your host.
Hi, and welcome back to the Defunctland podcast. My name is Kevin Perger. Today, I am joined by a very special guest, Andrew Barth Feldman. He is a huge Disney Parks fan, and he also just happens to be a huge star on Broadway in Dear Evan Hansen. Thanks for coming on, Andrew. I would really, just to start out, could you just explain for everyone what Dear Evan Hansen is in case they haven't heard of it? What's the show about?
Sure. So Dear Evan Hansen, for those who don't know, is a show about a young man who finds himself trapped in a lie involving a student in his grade, in his class, who has taken his own life. And it's sort of about family and love and sort of all these themes of generally forgiveness and connection is really the big thing. And I was very lucky. I'm only 17 years old, so I was very lucky to be part of this because I won the Jimmy Award, which is the National High School Musical Theater Award, last summer. And I'd gotten notice from the Dear Evan Hansen team, from Stacey Mindich, our incredible lead producer. And that was really unbelievable. So yeah, I'm very, very lucky to be doing what I'm doing.
So you're still 17.
I'm 17 years old.
Well, then I guess my next question is, what took you so long to get on Broadway?
Yeah, it was. I'm very happy that I tried to be like a child actor or whatever, but my parents, you know, contrary to everything that is this business, were not like stage moms and stuff. So they really they really didn't push me in that direction.
But I'm parents.
No, I'm so thankful because I'm so well-rounded, I think, now for a child or a teenager in this business. And I'm very thankful that this is my debut. And it's sort of a notoriously difficult role. There's a lot of tears and it's very difficult to sing, but I'm very, very glad they took a chance on me.
I have not had a chance to see it myself. I have many of my friends have had a chance to see it, and all I've heard is that it's a huge cry fest.
Yes.
And sounds like a real bummer.
I don't know if I would call it a bummer. That's fair, but I think it's really
bittersweet.
Yeah, it's very cathartic, I think, and it opens up a conversation that really needed to be opened up when it opened, and I think still needs to be opened today.
Because like it was the huge show. It was like post Hamilton. Like, what's the next one? And the Dear Evan Hansen was like the big one, and it's still the big one.
It was. It's sort of remarkable what a commercial success it is. It was created by these pretty much unknown writers, not these huge, you know, names. It's not based on anything. It's not based on any intellectual property. It's a totally original story, and it's pretty amazing what a success it is. And I'm
well, I love IP. I mean, Tarzan the musical.
I did that in eighth grade. I played Tarzan in eighth grade
on Broadway.
No.
Oh right, late start. Sorry.
that would be interesting. No, I that wasn't necessarily the biggest success in Disney's Broadway repertoire.
Sure, we got Tarzan, The Lion King.
There are a lot of them, but Lion King,
Aladdin,
you got Aladdin, Frozen, Mary Poppins, and Mary Poppins and Beauty and the Beast. I'm scared to say that's it. Aida is technically Disney. It's not based on a movie. And I think King David was also Disney, but that was also
you're missing one.
Not based on a movie. Which one am I missing?
Well, I don't know if this accounts. This is like, people that listen to me and, you know, they know that I'm very like Anaheim and Orlando and anything outside of that, I'm not sure. other than maybe Virginia when they were going to build the theme park there.
Or any
of the other capitals like Ohio. So like Broadway's not my thing, but wasn't Newsies on Broadway
week? Oh my God.
Or was it longer than that?
No, it was on Broadway for a while. It had a pretty successful run, and it still is having a success. Oh my God. My girlfriend is going to kill me for forgetting Newsies. She like loves Newsies. She was a big Newsies fan.
I know Newsies. More about Broadway than you. And now, I remember Newsies.
And now Hercules is coming to, it's off Broadway, which is really cool. Hercules is coming. Yeah.
It's about time.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
It's still up there in the most popular. We're going to get Mulan, I'm sure.
Oh, that'd be great. And surprise. Of course, Finding Nemo the musical. But that's not.
Oh my gosh, I was actually going to talk to you about that today. That was one of my That was one of my conversations a little. So, well, it's remarkable you being so young for what you've done, but you know, that's pretty much every interview for you, I'm sure, them saying
Thank
that.
You.
So let's forget that your huge accomplishment. Let's focus on your love for Disney parks. How about that?
Let's. I would love that.
So you love Disney parks. Let's go easy questions first. What's your favorite Disney park?
You know, I wish that was so easy. I think my answer is in terms of like, my answer in terms of Orlando is... I think Epcot.
In general, if you could go to one right now.
Man. Here's the thing is that I have yet to go to Hong Kong and Tokyo and Shanghai. I have a feeling that Tokyo Disney Sea would be like my number one favorite. But in terms of the ones that I've been to, I think Epcot is probably my favorite. I just really I love the at least what it is now. I think everything's sort of in a sort of flux phase right now. I mean that's pretty obvious. But I think I would say Epcot, I think, is my answer, but I'm not totally sure.
That is correct. Correct answer.
Correct answer.
Well, I guess I should back up. Have you always been in New York, or did you grow up near one of the parks?
Yeah, I was born and raised on Long Island, and I still live there.
Okay. How many trips to Walt Disney World have you taken?
I've lost count, and I stopped counting.
Oh, wow.
It's been a tradition from long before I was born. And when I was born, I have an older sister. She's 12 years older than me. So when I was born, my mom promised my sister that nothing would change. So I went to Disney for the first time when I was, I think.
That's funny.
I think
because
I was,
now you're on Broadway.
But I think I was 2 months old when the first time I went to Disney because it was the regularly scheduled trip. And so they took me and I was in a stroller and I slept the whole time. But, you know, it's just sort of in my blood. And so we would go for 3 weeks a year. And stay in like a house, one of those sort of Disney themed houses that aren't actually Disney owned or licensed, and they're off property, but they're like really wonderful and close enough to the parks. And that's what we would do. And we'd bring our whole family. We'd bring our dogs. We would drive down. It was crazy. It was a huge tradition for many, 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 many years.
So, you know, I'm trying to get all the kind of the general information out of the way, because we could, you know, use your expertise and focus on the musicals at some point during this, the time I have you, because there's some really interesting ones. But before that, you are a huge animatronics fan. You talk about it on Twitter all the time. Is that what you're drawn to, or are you drawn more to like roller coasters or just dark rides? I mean, what is it?
I think I'm kind of everything. I think in a very general statement, and this really isn't helpful at all, I'm just sort of very into theming and effective theming and immersion, and I think that's part of why I'm so drawn to the Disney parks in the first place is because of that. It's the best immersion, the best theming you could possibly get in the world. Animatronics, though, I think are really just such a cool part of that, because it's making a being where it as part of that immersion. It's making you believe that there's a human or, you know, whatever animatronic it is, there in this universe, and they're real. And I think we're getting so much closer to it being like so real. I think out of the sort of existing animatronics that I've seen, the one that I love the most is the Navi Shaman and the Navi River Journey, I think is like absolutely mind-boggling. But in terms of like character animatronics, I'm always kind of blown away by the Jack Skellington animatronic in Haunted Mansion Holiday. I think that's that might be like my favorite sort of niche animatronic, because
that's a very specific one.
It is, but I remember the last time I was there, I was in Disneyland last, like, I guess about a year ago, right before I started Dear Evan Hansen, and we did Haunted Mansion Holiday again just to see that, because it's so quick, but it's so perfectly placed in the ride, and it's like at the perfect point in the story and the arc of the attraction, and it's just very impressive and representative of who the character is in the film, as well as it being huge.
And we got Hondo now, so, you know, tell me about Hondo.
Oh my god, it's so cool.
Have you been to Galaxy's Edge?
I haven't yet. I'm waiting, and I haven't really been looking at pictures or anything. I've been trying not to, so that I can just sort of take it all in, because I know I'm a big Star Wars fan as well, so I know I'm going to fall absolutely head over heels.
I just saw it this past weekend, and it's really high up. I didn't expect it to be so high up.
Okay.
I think the most impressive animatronic actually from Galaxy's Edge is the Doc Ondar. Have you seen that one?
Oh, I've heard about it. I haven't watched any videos yet, but I did hear about that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's cool.
It's a, and you could actually, so it's, there's Doc Ondar's shop, and there's a, you know, he's one of the, he's that weird, like, wavy guy.
Right. Like, yeah. I saw the concept art. I think it's in the Den of Antiquities. Yeah.
Course, that one's really impressive, and everybody's talking about it. But the coolest part about it to me is if you like get on your tippy toes. I mean, how tall are you?
I'm like 5'7", so.
Well, get a friend, get them up on your shoulders, and you can see above. And if you look in the right little crevice, you can see the way he works, because it's not well
hidden.
That's
really cool.
There's like one little sliver, and you can kind of peek your eye in there, and you can see the mechanism for, because he gets up from his chair. And it's this really convincing motion where he kind of pushes himself up off the chair, stands up, and looks over at the thing. But if you look at it, it kind of looks like the device you use to push up your car when you're changing a tire. So it's
that's so interesting.
Yeah, so that's super cool.
So I can't wait.
So here's another softball.
Sure.
You're very young, but what is your favorite existing, I guess, or defunct ride? But you've been going forever, so maybe you've been on some defunct rides?
Yes, I have. So I've been on a lot. I haven't been on everything, and I don't remember everything that I was there for. So I wasn't really there for a lot of like old Epcot and stuff, which I really wish I was. And I've watched a lot of videos and done a lot of research on those rides and stuff.
Well, D23 is coming up. They're going to bring it back. It's all coming back. They would never destroy it. Why would they do that?
Of course.
This episode was recorded before D23. They are, in fact, destroying it.
I'm trying to keep this discussion light and positive for two reasons. Number one, you're a super positive and nice guy, and that's really great. But also, I don't want to ruin your chances of getting like Lumiere in Beauty and the Beast on tour or something.
Oh, no, that'd be great. No. My thing is like, I just kind of go with it. You know, I think we can, of course, be critical, but
agreed.
At the end of the day, I just enjoy it so much, regardless of, you know, if they get rid of my favorite ride or whatever, it's going to be something cool. And as long as I'm having fun, that's really what it is. And as long as I'm enjoying myself, that's the goal. And I think I just try to be as not cynical as possible. You know, for you, it's like,
same
your job, but it's like
I also try to never be cynical or sarcastic or pessimistic.
That's okay. You're allowed to be, because that's like what you've decided to do is like your job, and it's amazing, and I'm obsessed with your channel. But for me, I'm just going as a park goer, and I just try to enjoy it all, and I really really love Disney very much.
Very smart answer. Because now,
thank you.
You're going to get Lumiere once Dear Evan Hansen ends. They're going to be like, we need you to do Lumiere. I don't even know if Beauty and the Beast is still playing. Is it still playing?
It's not, but they're bringing it back, actually, I heard.
Would you be a good Lumiere?
I don't think so. I think...
Okay, so Beast?
I don't know who I could do. Oh, God. Maybe, like, I might be able to pull off LeFou. I might be able to do LeFou.
Don't sell yourself short, Andrew. I'm thinking Gaston.
I actually played LeFou when I was 9 years old. I've done a lot of Disney shows. But
okay, so I'm ruining your chances to be Tarzan's elephant friend when they revive.
He's not even in it. We have a lot to talk about. Is
Tarzan's Rosie O'Donnell monkey friend?
Yeah. That's the chance you're ruining. No. But it's
okay, so I'll be cynical. We'll just keep this positive. And people will be like, Kevin was really positive that episode for some reason.
You say whatever you're gonna say, and I'll keep being real happy about the Disney parks.
I'll keep tossing you softballs. Ready? What's your favorite? Sorry, I'll keep we asking can, we you can fair and real... balanced questions.
You asked my favorite ride like 10 years ago before you got Tony.
Hold on. Favorite ride. Okay. Favorite ride that you miss that no longer exists, and ride you never got to ride that you would want to. Three of them.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, my favorite ride is Haunted Mansion. End of conversation. It's incredible.
You see that Club 33 event where they got to eat dinner in the Haunted Mansion?
No. Yeah. Oh, I'm mad. I'm really mad that I'm, because I know they're doing like a merch event, or maybe they did it already I think it's tomorrow actually for the 50th anniversary, and I can't believe that I'm missing that.
It's all a merch event.
I want it.
All of Orlando could be renamed to Merch Event.
Merch Event.
Merch Event Florida. So Haunted Mansion, that's a good answer. Yeah, they did Haunted a Club 33 thing. My friend, not to derail you even more.
No, go for it.
But they one of my cast member friends just told me a story that I had no idea, because if it's not gone, I don't really care about it yet. He said, I was walking the floor of the Haunted Mansion while I was operating yesterday. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, if you go down to the dance, there's like a line for cast members where you can walk into the banquet scene. And there's like, the line where you'll be visible. And there's the line where you're going to, you know, like,
oh my God,
you could see both the Pepper's Ghost effect and you can see the animatronics supposedly. And it was,
that's unbelievable.
Animated figures.
And
so, I thought that was really cool.
That's
so
unbelievable.
Yeah, Haunted Mansion's a good answer.
Haunted Mansion's my favorite ride. The first one that came to mind when you said rides that I've been on and missed was Maelstrom. Was the first one that came to mind. I'm sure that's not the right answer, although I do love
if it's
Maelstrom
gone.
And
it's
Maelstrom.
It's a travesty. So
yeah. I think that's my answer. And then the ride that I really wish I could have been on is Original Figment. I'm a big Figment fan, and I never got to see Dreamfinder, and I think that would have been really, really magical. So I've watched a lot of videos, and whenever people ask sort of like, what is the ride? What if I could make a ride, what would it be? And I would say, I always say, bring back Original Figment, but with the new sort of state of the art technology that we've come to expect from Disney. So generally the same theme and characters, but with make it their next sort of illusions and trick show. I think that would be really, really awesome. But I'm scared for the fate of Figment. I am nervous.
Oh yeah, he's gone.
In retrospect, he's not gone, but he's probably gone.
I'm upset about it.
Are you going to D23, or do you have like a show or something to put on?
I'm a little busy. But I'll be keeping tabs on it. I do hope that we get Marvel in the parks. I do think that would be one to get in Orlando. I mean, I think that would be really great. And it seems like it would be on the other side of the park from Figment, for the other side of Epcot. But I'm still
You think it would
nervous.
Be in World Showcase, or you think it would be over on Wonders of
Oh
Life?
No. I mean, it'll be on the other side of Future World of Epcot's
right.
Because if Guardians is taking over Universe of Energy, then it'll probably be sort of in that area. But I don't know, because now we got the Play Pavilion, and I don't know. But
so with the show, you like, so how long is your stint back to your life?
Do you
have like a contracted stint, or is it just like
it sort of has yet to be seen when it'll end, and it's not public how long my contract is for, so I'm not sort of at liberty to share the details. But
sure. My main question with this, though, just to give you an indication, is how often do you get to go to the parks? And if never, when are you like counting down the days to get to go again, kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm already planning a trip. just sort of in my head, but it's not, it's, we sort of have a general idea of when we might be able to go, but I'm not totally sure. So I haven't, I'm going through major withdrawals right now. Cause this would be about, we would be a couple weeks out from our annual trip. We usually go every year and then maybe sprinkle in like a Disneyland trip or my family likes to travel a lot. So I've been to Disneyland Paris as well because when we went to France, we just went for a few days and it was awesome. Yeah. So that's what it is. I'm very much going through withdrawals right now.
Withdrawals. Right. So yeah. By the way, this is completely off topic, but I really like how I can hear like New York ambiance in the background.
Yeah, you can hear
audio.
The taxis.
It's just, it makes yeah, it makes it feel like I'm there with you.
Very noir interview.
Right. Exactly. So do you mind if we talk a little bit about shows?
Let's
at Disney parks. So I'm going to make fun of these and then you can tell me that it's a team of talented individuals and that you really admire them or whatever.
Great, but
yeah, right. Let's just start with, I think, my favorite musical at Disney, which is Finding Nemo, the musical at Animal Kingdom. You've seen this, right?
Many times.
Okay. So for those of you that haven't, let me try to explain it. If you've seen the movie Finding Nemo, they took that, condensed it into 40 minutes.
40 minutes.
Cut nothing and then added 30 songs.
It's amazing.
It's the most fast-paced, breakneck-paced musical I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And it just goes. Like, Nemo gets kidnapped in the first 2 minutes.
And it goes fast.
His mom dies and he gets kidnapped in 2 minutes. It's amazing.
It goes fast.
So what are your thoughts on this one?
It's I'm pretty much head over heels in love with it. It's okay. I really am. It's 40 minutes because it has to be 40 minutes, but it was written by the Lopezes, Krista and Robert Lopez, who also wrote, you know, in terms of Disney, they wrote the music for Frozen, but they also wrote Broadway shows like Avenue Q and the Book of Mormon.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
She got to meet Krista. She came to the show a couple months ago and she told me, and it was announced recently, that they are making Finding Nemo Jr., which for people who don't know what junior musicals are, it's MTI, which is a licensing company that licenses musicals for schools and community theaters and whatnot to perform them, have 60-minute versions of shows that middle schools can perform, and it's pretty easy to put on. So they do this with a lot of shows, and it's sort of been in the works for many years to do Finding Nemo, but they've always said no because they'd have to make it longer, which has never happened. It's always a problem of, okay, what do we cut? What do we shorten? They had to make the show longer for Finding Nemo Jr. from 40 to 60 minutes. So what I heard that they did is they added fish facts, which is for sort of like scene changes. One of the fish steps up and says like, did you know there are, you know, however many fish in the ocean or whatever. And it's super cute. And there are a couple productions happening and
wait. So hold on. Well, let me get this straight. They needed to make the 40-minute show longer.
Longer.
So instead of just adding more,
I'm sure they did that as well. Okay. I'm sure they did that as well. But it was done.
I just like the idea of them just sitting there, really, you know, trying like, how are we going to make this? How do we make this any longer? It's like movie's 2 hours. You cut it down and just add more stuff back.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they did that as well because I don't think they could do 20 minutes of fish facts, but and maybe they didn't, and maybe there are 20 minutes of fish facts, and that's works too because it's for middle schools to put on.
Oh my god, I pray there are 20 minutes of fish facts. A third of the musical is just fish facts.
I'm very excited about it, and I know there are a couple productions going on now that I was like invited to because I'm pretty vocal about my love for it. And recently we'd actually I was sent the score to the musical. And so I brought it to one of our music directors at the theater and we just sort of jammed out to it. Cause it's honestly a great score. And the music is beautiful, and it's kind of amazing considering how difficult the score is that the cast is able to perform it that many times a day, a week. It's pretty crazy considering we.
And the puppetry is really amazing.
Oh my God, the puppetry is amazing. It's a pretty gorgeous show, and I would love to see it fully realized. But the reason why they brought the Lopez's in is because Krista Anderson Lopez did a 8 minute or something a cappella choral version of some Greek tragedy or something. I don't remember what it was, and I'm definitely butchering what this actually was. But Disney saw it and they were like, oh, they can shorten stuff and they're amazing at writing music. Let's bring them in to do Nemo. And that was sort of the jumping off point for getting them to do Frozen and a couple of other things.
Well, look at that. You just gave me like a history. I was just wanting to know what you knew stuff about it. This is an informational podcast. You totally turned this around. It is an informational podcast. You know, so this was written by the Lopez's, right? So as you said, and yes. It was Avenue Q and mm-hmm. Book of Mormon. Because those are two of my favorite musicals. I always
that was
Avenue
all them.
Q. That's amazing. And I knew, and I had heard that before. And I think it's the musical itself is really funny because it's just. For me, it's not one of my favorites. I think the music is really great, and I think the puppetry is really great, but there's something always jarring about seeing Pixar characters in a musical setting, if that makes
sure.
sense.
Sure, I totally understand that.
And have you seen the Toy Story musical that was on the Disney one?
I have watched videos of it, and I think, similarly, I think the music is very good. I think that there are definitely some... It was executed in a very interesting way, and I think that now they would do it differently with updated technology, and I think they're striving for more sort of artful shows on the cruises with like the Beauty and the Beast show that they did that was very well done, and Tangled, you know, it's becoming a bit more sophisticated, and I think that was definitely less sophisticated. But I think the music was great, and it wasn't bad. But I think there were a lot of pre-recorded elements, and they did it very like, you know, they had mascot characters, which was an interesting choice for a musical.
So and then that well I mean I love the cruises. I think I love the cruises as much as you love the parks. Have you ever been on the cruises?
I also
love the
cruises. I have.
Okay, now you're gonna take that away from me too.
Twice.
That's what ships?
I'm trying to remember. I think we did the Disney Wonder one time, and then we might have done that again. I know I've been on two. We might have done the Disney Wonder twice. I don't quite remember. But I was young enough the first time to go do the Oceaneers Club and stuff, which is unbelievable. It's the theming in that is like pretty much peak. Theming, and it's really incredible. And then the second time
Society of Explorers and Adventurers. I don't know if you follow the societies.
I do follow the societies.
That was Mary Oceaneer, right?
Oh yes. Oh, I totally forgot that was connected.
There's a bunch of Pleasure Island references, and there's a bunch of there's just a ton of weird references there. Jungle Cruise references.
Yeah, I totally forgot that was connected. Yeah,
I was more leading you towards. Would it be more difficult to perform Dear Evan Hansen if every like minute or two the stage like tilted 30 degrees?
Yes, it would be very difficult. You know, interestingly enough, the answer is yes. Our stage is on a slant. It's something called a rake, and it's on an angle. So we get physical therapy so that our legs don't give out every day while we're doing the show. It's very strange. But no, that would not be easy. This is not an easy show to do in the first place.
Yeah, so and that's how all the shows are, and they do some really interesting things on the ships now with their musicals. And we can when I say interesting, I mean really like how did this get approved? Interesting. but you know, we can get into that if we have time, but I wanted to get through. Finding Nemo is one of the most interesting because it's not only condensed, but they added like 30 songs, and there's so many songs. Mm-hmm. They really got their money's worth out of these songwriters, and they wrote it was like one sentence, two verse song, one sentence, just one verse song.
Yeah,
and it's breakneck. But what's interesting about Finding Nemo also, did Did you know this? You do know this, but I'm going to pretend like I know it.
We'll see.
You're so knowledgeable. I was trying to gauge, and you were giving me good answers, but now
I'm surprised. I'm happy that I'm holding up to you. I'm very, very relieved.
Oh, I don't know anything. So do you know the Finding Nemo musical connection to Epcot?
Go on. Do you mean that Big Blue World is in,
yes,
is in, yes, is the, in, it's in the seas.
And Finding Nemo, the musical, is in the Living Seas.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is, The Seas with Nemo and Friends.
Yes. It's a gorgeous song.
It is a great song, but I'm just, they really, yeah, like they hired these two. And they're like, we are going to get our money's worth out of this. Like, it's incredible that there's like a in park Finding Nemo, like not cinematic, but like parks universe where they just love that song.
It's very interesting, and it's so fitting for the seas. It's a very, very fitting song for that attraction and that pavilion, because it's about how, you know, beautiful and awesome the ocean is. And it's so well, I think they wrote it for the show, and then they were like, oh, this also works for this other thing that we're doing very well. And it does. And it's a perfect, it's a really nice ending to that attraction.
That's such a beautiful way to look at the behind the scenes of Disney parks.
I hope that's how it goes.
I'm sure there is, but if I was just explaining that, I would say something like, and then they needed a new song, and instead of making a new one, they just used the same one. It'd be super cynical and sad.
I think it just works so well.
We need a Defunctland series with you, and be like, Euro Disneyland just opened, and it was beautiful, and it was just amazing. And then they built another thing. It's just so positive. And me being like, and then there was protests in the streets.
Yeah, we could do that. We could balance each other out.
Okay, so here's, I'm gonna ramp my way up to my favorite musical that's ever shown in Disney parks.
Okay.
But I'm gonna give you another one. So it's easy to defend Finding Nemo the musical, because it's a good musical and there's a lot there. The only real thing is it's super rushed.
Yes.
Here's another one. Beauty and the Beast live on the stage. Tell me why this is live on stage. Tell me why it's an amazing, amazing musical. Okay.
I think it's great for what it is. I think it's
okay.
I don't think it needs to be anything else.
You don't think that needs to just be torn down and replaced with literally anything.
I don't think it should be replaced. I do think it's dated. I do think with the technology of you know, animated mascots that we have now, it doesn't make sense to keep it in the parks, and I don't think they're going to keep it in the parks. And
we've been saying that for 20 years,
but longer. I mean, with everything that's coming to Hollywood Studios and the fact that they're going to have 50 new attractions in 2021, I mean they've got to put something else there. But
30 of those are just dance parties, so don't get too excited.
Dance parties. We'll find out. I don't think it's going to happen, but I had been talking with someone and saying that the possibility was that they would put the Beauty and the Beast attraction in that spot. I don't think that's going to happen, but I mean, it was the first thing that I thought of. The one from, I think it's in Tokyo, right? Yeah. Or Hong Kong. I don't remember. Anyway,
wait, which one? What are you talking about?
The Beauty and the Beast, attraction, the dark ride. That's the track.
Oh yeah. That's Tokyo.
Okay. That's cool. Okay, yeah.
So next,
I mean, I think it would make sense to bring it here, but I don't think Beauty and the Beast, I think it's dated, and I don't think it should still be there. But I think I mean people like it. I mean, kids like it, and it's you know, oh look, there's Belle. That's sort of the point of that, and that's fine.
Sure. Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
Oh man. Yeah, no, I also dated, and I also don't think I just kind of think it's embarrassing to keep it there with everything that's coming.
That's your headline, Playbill. Andrew,
Disney will never hire me ever again because I said that it's embarrassing to keep Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
Embarrassing to keep Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
It's not that it's bad. It's that it's dated. It's very dated.
It's embarrassing.
It was a cool.
It's not bad. He said it's not bad.
It was a cool technology showcase when it opened, and and the puppets are cool. Just digging your own hole. The puppets are cool, and we still use they use them for all sorts of stuff.
Little PR tip. Just lie and say you never said that, even though it's on tape. It works every time.
It works nowadays. It's okay, and it was okay when it opened.
I'm giving you trouble. It's awful. You can admit it. It's fine. I know you can't, but it's awful.
It's dated.
Yeah. There's a lot of hardworking people that put on that show that just so happens to also be awful. Okay, so there's a third musical show at Hollywood Studios. What is it? It just opened.
I'm thinking...
Oh, wait, no, actually. Well, let's not count... Okay, I guess we need to count Frozen, a sing-along celebration.
Frozen, a sing-along celebration does count. Okay. Are you talking about the Incredibles dance party?
No, that's nothing. it's a cookie store and a brick wall. There's nothing.
Are you talking about musicals? About musical shows?
There's a musical show by technicality that's playing at Hollywood Studios right now.
Is it the Mickey thing that because Disney took over Disney Junior live on stage, didn't it?
I think that was Frozen.
Oh no! They're Frozen's at
Oh, then it's a character meet and greet, or it's like Playhouse Disney Dance Party.
Yes, it is that.
It's not.
I don't think I know.
What is it?
I can't think of what you're referring to.
It's Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy.
Oh, is that a musical?
Because Mater sings a song.
No way.
Yeah, and it is awful.
I haven't been. I saw it. I think the animatronics are cool.
Animatronic.
I mean, singular. Fine.
Singular.
But it's that animatronic is always kind of cool, and it was cool in Land.
Yeah, there's a great song where he gets real country, and I can't do it, but he does the whole Larry the Cable Guy, and Larry the Cable Guy sings, or like someone with a singing voice that sounds just like Larry the Cable Guy.
Wow.
Does I want to say it starts off with like spin your wheels round and round, but I don't think that's right. But it's just as bad.
I feel like it does. I had no idea it was a musical.
When we got through Hollywood Studios, I know we're rushing through these.
No, it's all good. Yeah.
But can you guess what it's no longer exists. It actually exists in one place. Can you guess what my favorite musical is in one place, and it's not in the parks? My favorite musical.
Okay, I need to think about this. Was it Hunchback? Because that wasn't...
What? No.
Because Hunchback was there.
I'm
thinking through
them. Think of me.
Tarzan Rocks?
No, but I did do a podcast, the right episode about Tarzan Rocks, which is a great episode. And go check that out if you haven't already. I'm talking to the audience and you.
Your favorite musical.
There's some people that know this.
I don't think I...
come on.
No.
It used to be at California Adventure.
Okay. That narrows it down. Aladdin?
Yes.
Before. Oh, yeah? Okay.
That version of Aladdin is incredible.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It is so fun and cheesy, just like Aladdin.
Yeah, and it's a perfect representation of the film, and it was inclusive, and it was... Yeah, I loved Aladdin.
It was really a... so you saw Aladdin Musical Spectacular probably multiple times, right?
I did a couple
Isn't
times.
Isn't it amazing?
It was gorgeous.
The best genie was in the final performance. Go watch that
really?
If you haven't.
I will. It's now that you bring that up, I think that was a part of a lot of our sort of inside jokes when I was young, was a lot of the things that the genie said in that. And also A Whole New Bird was something that we quoted a lot when Iago had his Whole New World reprise. It was gorgeous. It was a great, great, great show.
See, now this is when your enthusiasm is not only appreciated, but it's also correctly placed, because that show was beautiful.
It was.
And it was a great, great show. Now there's Frozen. I haven't seen it. I can't go into it's, you know, it's like when your grandparents move, you know, you can't go
into
the old
house.
It's not the same. Right.
Sure.
Mainly because someone else lives there and they've locked the doors.
I think it's well done. I think Frozen's well done.
You've seen it?
I have.
You've gone to the belly of the beast and seen Frozen.
I have. I was very curious, and I think it's really well done. The tech is awesome. you know, it's the music is the music, and it's super fun. It's very well done. I think they did a really good job with it.
It's no Aladdin a musical spectacular though, right?
It also depends on your preference of film. I like Aladdin better than Frozen. I don't dislike Frozen. But Aladdin, I think, as a story, it holds up better than Frozen. And so, I mean, yeah, that's why I would, and stylistically too, I sort of have more interest in Aladdin, but to each his own, you know. So
trying to get my headlines here. You're giving me nothing. These answers are
I'm
too
really,
good.
Really good at avoiding anything controversial at all ever. Cause everyone likes Aladdin, whatever they like.
I need a Andrew says Aladdin is way better than Frozen. Headline.
I prefer Aladdin to Frozen, but I think it was.
Man, see, that's soft language. I need hard language. I need insight. I need something for the title, Andrew. You got to help me out here, man.
I don't have much. I don't have a controversial bone in my body. I really don't. It's just kind of what it is. But I like Frozen, and I'm happy that it's okay, that it's I'll occupying I'll, the theater.
I'll lay off. Okay. So let's hear as my final question, because you got to get going, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So as my final question, we'll wrap this up.
Sure.
Give me your most controversial opinion on Disney parks, and it doesn't have to be musical related. And I would suggest you'd not be musical related, given your position as a musical star.
Yeah, I can't tell you how difficult that is for me.
It's controversial. It doesn't mean you have to dislike anything or you have to like anything. It's just a controversial stance to take.
A controversial stance to take about the Disney parks.
Mine is Dole Whip is terrible.
Oh, really? That's interesting. I like Dole Whip a lot. I like Dole Whip a lot.
When confronted in battle, it's just, that's interesting.
I mean, it's because I really do. I think my thing with the Disney parks is there is so much in this world. And maybe this is my controversial opinion, but I'll try to come up with one that's more satisfying, is that there's so much in this world for us to not like. And Disney is there for us to like it. So if you can sort of, you know, turn a blind eye to whatever capitalistic intentions there are, because that's going to be there for everything, ever, always. Then it's just there for us to enjoy it. And so I just think that's what I try to do and sort of suspend my disbelief in my criticism. And, you know, for you and channels like yours, you're here to give us criticism, and that's great. And we definitely need it for art. And that's really what it is.
I like to think of myself more as a historical connoisseur rather than
a critic?
Art critic. Yeah. Do you consider
you
me a
are.
Critic? That's controversial.
No.
Kevin is a critic cynic.
I think Andrew. You can be critical, and that's not a negative thing.
So when you say can be, does that tend to be or allowed to be?
Allowed to be and are sometimes.
Good answer.
But generally, you take a pretty objective view of things, and I appreciate
that's
a lot.
Well, thank you. I try to be objective.
You do. You are.
Objectively, this whole operation is just insane.
Yeah.
the Disney parks in general. But
yeah, totally.
So I'm not going to try to squeeze a headline out of you any longer, Andrew. Thank you so much for joining me. This has been really fun. I hope this helped you get some of your pent up Disney parksness out until your next trip.
It did. It did help a lot.
So now I got you excited to go see, to get, oh, and the Disney Fantasy is where they're playing Aladdin. So go there.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to see Aladdin.
What did I just heard they were doing something new, and I don't remember what it was.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing with more projections.
I mean, great.
It is great, Andrew. It's amazing. That's all the time we have today, but thank you again for joining us, and tell the people where they can find you. This is the weirdest one because you're like at the epicenter of like culture. And it's like,
yeah.
Where can people? Most of the time it's like, you can find me on kevin.com. But this one is like, Andrew, where can people find you?
You can find me at the Music Box Theater on in New York City, and come see Dear Evan Hansen and come to the stage door, and we'll talk about Disney parks. It happens a lot, actually, that people come. I signed a Magic Band recently. Somebody brought their Magic Band for me to sign,
that
which was really cool. It was awesome. And it makes me really happy that they're going to be going around the Disney parks with that. And I got somebody made me custom Dear Evan Hansen ears that I plan on wearing. It's people are really cool. And it's crazy how responsive and welcoming they've been to my love of the Disney parks on the internet.
Well, with the way you go about it, it's so positive, and I envy that, but I refuse that myself, and I remain in my critical, pessimistic bubble. But
and we appreciate it.
But this clash has been a lot of fun, and thank you so much for joining us. To everyone listening, thank you for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe, and thank you for visiting Defunctland.